Welcome to the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Show, where our mission is to inspire, impact, and influence other immigrant entrepreneurs to follow their dreams and create the future they want and desire. My guest today is Carlos Gutierrez. Carlos, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity of having me here. It's an honor, honestly.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. So, Carlos, please give us an idea of where you were born and, just a little backstory of who you are.
Absolutely. So Carlos Gutierrez. I was born in Cuba, Havana, Cuba, to be exact. I moved over to the U.S. with both of my parents at the age of 8 and a half. We moved here, moved in with my grandparents. We're already living here, and there was already a family established here. Came to the U.S. From there, just watching my parents working their behinds off year after year, doing many different jobs. Just saw them from pizza delivery to newspaper routes to real estate. My dad working at a factory of manufacturing clothing until the day he decided to, that was it for him. He was never going to do that again. Left there upset, came home. And said, I'll just never go back. And I'll never forget that day. He never went back. That's when the real estate dream for us took off. He really got into real estate, got into the construction piece of it, did very well with doing flips. And I saw those dreams. So they actually pushed me a whole lot to go to school. I grew up here in Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. So I went to high school, Jefferson High School, and attended college at USF also. Mm. And through those times while I was in college, I started a banking career as a part-time teller. My friends were making fun of me because I couldn't keep a job at that time.
Right.
They were betting on how long would I be till I get fired. but, you know, it was from there while going to college, also studying, working at the same time. And picked up banking as a part-time teller. From there, the career just took off. So 15 years of banking.
Wow.
Went from part-time teller to banker to working inside of a Walmart in a small bank 7 days a week. And inside that actual bank, I would have to walk through the aisles to sell the bank. So imagine you being at a bank, at a Walmart shopping, and a guy just comes up, hey, do you want to check an account?
Wow.
So I think some of the grit of my sales side of being told no and the rejection built there. Mm-hmm. From there, I actually went to a larger bank, which I didn't have the experience, but the guy said, you know what, something about you, your tenacity, you just seem like you just don't give up. You followed up with us a lot of times. You applied 6 times. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you the chance. And that guy became my mentor. Changed my life, to be honest, because he could have hired somebody that had a 19-year career. Mm-hmm. He said, something about you, I'm just going to give you the chance. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad he did because I actually became the top banker in the area for SunTrust at the time. And they moved me from branch to branch to one of the branches who was a top branch. Their whole staff went left, and they brought me there to stabilize it. From there, I became an assistant manager, moved over into commercial banking. So just every step of the way, I was always one of the youngest ones in my role. Because of one being Hispanic, luck of they would bring me in because I spoke Spanish, right?
Right.
Like, hey, this guy speaks Spanish, he can help this market. And they realized, oh, he's smart enough, he can actually do the job like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So then they would allow me to go to like downtown, South Tampa, other areas of the market also. But always chasing the entrepreneur dream. Mm-hmm. Always, always.
Why?
My parents, right? My parents were both chemical engineers in Cuba. Mm-hmm. So they graduated with masters, chemical engineers, were running their labs, working for a large corporation. But when they came to America, remembering my dad that day that he actually said, I'm not going back. I'm going to work for myself. Remembering that he would push me at the same time. You need to start your own thing. You need to do your own thing. And I had no idea what to do, honestly. Like it was, and I went down the path. I was almost buying like 10 different businesses. Almost bought a hair salon. Almost bought like got junk trucks where franchises, a painting franchise. I can't tell you how many times, but during those times I learned a lot.
But you never did it, right? You said almost bought. Okay.
Right. So I would go into learn about it, look at the financials, talk to the owners. I worked with a franchise expert,
right,
who would guide me along, would have me do different interviews. And something about it just never felt right. It just that, you know, I had to feel like if my 15-year career of banking was there, how could I translate to something else? And I just never gave up. Anybody bring me a business? Yeah, I'll check it out. I don't care what the deal is. Let's learn about it. Thankfully, I landed into what I do today because of that. Because I could have easily said, no, I'm not interested. No, I don't want to look at this. I have a great career going on. And that dream of I will eventually, and I would see others who entrepreneurs, right, who would start their businesses, may not have the same education, but they just took off and did well. And I'm thinking, man, I've ran a business inside of a large corporation. I could do this. But also having a child at a young age. So I had my son when I was 22.
Right.
And having that security for him also scared me of leaving the security of having the health benefits, having the retirement plans and the stable paycheck. But I was able to save up enough money, was able to use my retirement money to be able to get into the business that I am today.
So. Okay, tell us more about the business that you're in today.
The business I am today, we are an insurance broker, so it's financially fluent. And we have about 80 agents across the nation right now. It's myself and two other partners. And both of my partners had already established the business. I came in and bring in more of the structure to the business is what I did. So they offered me initially to come in as a managing partner. After 2 weeks of meeting each other, seeing what I could bring to the table, offering different ideas, they actually offered me a buy-in. It's like, you know what? We're going to offer you a buy-in. You're bringing a lot of value and we want to make this bigger. And I did. I cashed in my entire 401k. That since I started banking, I would tell other bankers, hey, they're giving you free money essentially, right? No, I can't afford it. Most people tell you I can't afford it. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I can't afford, you know, 5% away. I said, okay, I'm just going to act like I don't have it. And it's going to go straight into there. The bank would match me 5%, 4%, whatever it was. That grew over time. And thankfully this opportunity came. The buy-in that they offered me was very similar to what I had in that account. I thought about it twice, consulted with my parents. My dad thought I was crazy. But at that time I said, I got to do this for myself. This is the opportunity I've been wishing for. I have the money there and I got to bet on myself.
What year was that?
That was last year.
Oh, wow. That was last year.
So that was my first official business that I could say replaced my career.
I see.
I have been able to start other smaller businesses on the side, but nothing that was going to actually partake and be the replacement of the career that I had withstanding.
So. I see. What was different in this case than all other cases that you had looked before? And you were like, no, it looks nice, it sounds nice, but I'm not going to pull the trigger. And in this case, you did pull the trigger. What was the difference?
One, it aligned very similar to what I had been doing, right? So in banking, it was checking accounts, savings account, finances, even managing like larger corporations, like up to 20 million. So businesses, I was a commercial lender. So this was in the finance realm. It allowed me to stay within the same, still advise people, which is what I love to do. I love to help people. I love to put them in a better situation. So if I meet you today, my goal is always out of any relationship is to make sure that I impact your life somehow, right? So, and know that we've built something. And this allows me to do that. It allows me to help families. It allows me to help immigrant families who come to this country and don't have a clue. A lot of us come from third world countries who we're worried about survival. We're not worrying about the next generation. So this now allows me to educate and teach them that it doesn't have to be about the survival anymore. So it aligned very well with my values, what I believe in, and also my business partners. Frankly, honest in the beginning, looking at financials, it probably wasn't the best financial decision when we looked at financials, and they knew it, right? But I believed in both of them. So I'd said, honestly, I'm investing into this business and we're making money, but I'm really more investing than you guys. So, and that's really, that was it. So luckily I found two partners who, which is rare to do that. It's like a true marriage. Like between the three of us, we all balance each other. We all have different skills. We trust each other And it's grown. I mean, like, we've been best friends for life, but it's really only been like 6 to 8 months.
I love that, man. That's amazing. So would you say that I call it the intuition, the gut feeling that, you know, makes us decide on something, which is not 100% right, right? But most of the time, if you can connect with it, really, if you're connected to yourself and you can tap into it, then most of the time it's right. Would you say that's also something that you tapped into it when you were about to make this decision and, you know, say, okay, this is the thing that I want to go for?
100%. 100%. Because if I would have looked at just the data on what was on paper, mm-hmm. it might have not been the best investment, mm-hmm. right? The numbers were there, but it wasn't. Maybe I could have put that money somewhere else and done my own thing. But the intuition of I've met the right guys who I could do this with, they have the same vision. We could balance each other off because I could be with somebody who does the same thing I do, mm-hmm. and it won't work, right? So having the three of us bring different things to the table, and I kind of gelled them both together, which was like a perfect triangle at that point. Mm-hmm. So that intuition was really more of the gut feeling that kicked in for me and that helped me overcome the numbers make sense or they don't make sense, you know?
I see.
So, absolutely.
I just wonder, are they also immigrants?
No. Actually, they were both from Ohio.
Okay.
Yep. One of them is a doctor. Mm-hmm. So, Drake, he is the CEO of our company. Mm-hmm. Drake, he started the company initially. He's been in insurance for about 10 years now.
Right.
And he was working with a different insurance company, helped get a lot of things going there, and decided, you know what, I want to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. At that time, he met Dr. Elijah, which the guy's, I mean, he's a machine. He is like the COO of our company because he makes all operations work, you know. Mm-hmm. Drake is a high visionary, big picture type guy. And I came along and brought more of the business organization, the structure, the leadership and management of the team. So I kind of have a little bit of Eli and a little bit of Drake. So I'm the hybrid of both of them.
I see.
But they are both from the U.S. And they love the immigrant, right? Mm-hmm. They love immigrants. Mm-hmm. They love to support and the minority dream at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they are big. They're both minorities.
Right.
So they are big on helping the minorities.
Right. The underdog story, right? We talked about it a little bit, you know, when I connected with you, I also told you that, hey, immigrant entrepreneurs, one thing that keeps me going, that keeps the fire in me, is helping the underdogs, right? Because we as immigrants are oftentimes, if not always, the underdog. And the underdog is, hey, you have the odds against you, and now you need to make it happen. Now you have to make it work, come hell or high water, because there is no other option. So when you get to work with immigrant entrepreneurs or immigrants in general in your career as clients that come to you, immigrants, what do you see that, you know, let's say they, what is common amongst the immigrants that are successful? What are some character traits? What do they do different than those that maybe, you know, are not as successful as them?
God, that just gave me chills. Mm. So it's the work ethic.
Oh, wow.
It's the work ethic of having the mindset, and I just met with somebody yesterday, and we just talked on hours about this. Mm. Having the mindset of, doesn't matter where I go in the world, doesn't matter what I do. You can put me to do construction. You can put me to do anything. Mm. I'm always going to try to be my best. I'm going to keep my head down and work until whoever's guiding me at that time, if I'm not the leader, says, hey, you've done a great job. You're one of our top guys. Mm. So that consistent of putting your head down, coming to learn a language, right, mm. to this country, coming to learn a culture, whether you fit in or not. And if you move into a city where you may not be welcomed, mm. right, it's being able to adapt to those things. A lot of times we all come with families. So right. now you have to lead your family through mm. that. But it's having this the ability to put in your head down and no pride, mm. putting your pride to the side. Mm. And when you put your pride to the side, because now you're starting brand new, most of the times we don't come with anything.
Right.
Some of us, or most of us,
right.
you know, and without the knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the guys that actually works for my father now said it best. And I don't think I've ever met a immigrant that has been so recent to the country with this mindset. And he's in his 20s.
Right.
The guy said, I need to surround myself with those who already have done it in this country. Mm. And that's who I seek. I seek mentorship. Mm. I seek friendships from those who already are doing it, that came from where I came from, and they've shown that they could do it. Mm. And he hangs out with my dad, comes to our house all the time because he's like, I want to learn more. And everything that we've taught him every step along the way, which in turn others, they, you know, choose their own path.
Right.
Think they could do it however they want and are not as successful or you know, heaven has moved along as fast as he has.
Mm-hmm. So. And thank you for that. And I also resonate with that. You know, I believe also the immigrant entrepreneur's journey as an immigrant, when you go to a new place, is also very humbling. You know, when I came to the U.S., I came to the U.S. a year ago. For me, I mean, you know, I would say I'm a decent businessman. I've had some success. I've had some failures, but luckily or thank God, more successes than failures. But when I came here to this country, man, I was a nobody. I still am a nobody, but nobody knew me. Nobody had all the connections that I have back home. When I came here, I had to start at zero. Nobody knew who I am. Nobody who, all the connections that I had, they were meaningless because they were not here. So now I have to start building basically everything that I wanted to somehow work in my benefit or, you know, for my advantage or whatever we call it. So, and I realized how humbling that experience was, you know. Hey, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you did in there. I don't care who you know. I don't care all the businesses that you build and own and whatsoever. Now, okay, now we start at ground zero again, you know. And going through that is very humbling because whoever thinks that, oh, I made this, I did that. Okay, now if you go to a new place, nobody cares about that.
Right.
Nobody cares about that. And I'm sure your dad can resonate with that because you were younger when you came here. But when he came here from Cuba and he had to start all over again, learn the language and it is so humbling, man. I'm telling you. So I wonder, when you go through that experience to become an entrepreneur after having worked for so long, we always have someone that we either have in our close family, friends, that we look up to, mm-hmm. or in some extended network that we look up to. I like to call them role models. Some others like them, call them mentors, whatsoever. Who was that for you?
There's several people in my family. I'll start with my grandfather. Mm. My grandfather moved to the U.S. when my mother was two.
Mm-hmm.
And moved to the U.S., then moved to Puerto Rico. Started a pest control business there. Mm. Didn't do well. Him and his brother were just doing pest control. They used a little bit of money that they gathered from that and turned it into a real estate business. And that's where the family really grew. So he started, him and his brother both did very well over there in Puerto Rico in real estate. He moved to the U.S. In the U.S., they also succeeded in the real estate business. And then the six kids that he has all follow the same steps. Mm. So today, my grandfather, right now, you know, we've gone on vacation and he's like, hey, I'll take care of the entire family because he's done well enough. But he's like, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to everything, I'll give you a little bit of help, but you guys got to figure it all out. Mm. So he helped us move to this country, gave us the guidance and said, okay, here are the keys. Now you guys got to figure out how to drive.
Mm.
So he's definitely one of the ones that I look up to because he figured out how to do them on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then my parents actually in Cuba, while being chemical engineers, mm-hmm. used to have a lot of the side jobs just to make things meet and ends meet in Cuba because, you used to get paid pennies on a dollar, you know, for what you do. So imagine having two master's degrees, running a lab, and my father would have to make shampoo at home, to then go to the countryside of Cuba to buy and exchange it for meat.
Wow.
Smuggle it back to the city.
Wow.
On the bus, because that was also illegal to do, to then for us to be able to have food and him sell it also.
Wow.
My mother used to have to make like homemade food and used to on the weekends have to sell it at nighttime, or they would make things at home and they would have like our other family members sell it while also, and they had their full-time job and raising me. They had me when they were young, so I actually grew up with them seeing all of this, and we still talk about it today, about we laugh back at it, and I'm like, you remember when you used to do this? Or I went to a local Cuban store and I saw a little it was a dessert my mom used to make, and she was like, you remember that? And I watched every, you know, every bit step of the way with them. And that right there, it's what's kept me, you know, I idolized both of them. I idolized both of them because they are, honestly, they figured it out. And they've, you know, made ways for all of us. So.
What is the impact that this kind of experiences have had in your own journey, in your own life, that you get tapped into it? Hey, this is what I was going through as a child, but this is also what my parents went through in order to come here and give us the life that we have today, or absolutely, help us give us the life that we have today.
I say one of my biggest strengths is figuring things out. You could put the brick wall in front of me and I will figure out how to jump over it, run through it. We're going to figure things out. There's no, even with my business partners now, they'll say, cause they've been insurance longer than I have, this hasn't been done before. We don't do it this way. And I'm like, guys, there's gotta be a way. And a lot of things in our businesses have progressed because of, no, there's gotta be a way. We're going to find a way to do this. And we have so many different things that we put in place due to that. So watching them not give up, watching them being flat broke, even when the pandemic, I mean, not the pandemic, but when the economy sank, my father lost it all. He built up and in 2008 lost it all. So he built a really nice real estate portfolio, but like a lot of other people. And I saw him climb right back to the point where last night we were having a conversation and my mom goes, you remember that time you asked me to pick up your son from school? She goes, yeah, you remember I called you back? I was actually trying to figure out how to tell you that I didn't even have enough to pay for gas. And I'm like, what? How could you not you know, tell me that? And she's like, yeah. So, and we were reflecting back on those old times because she's like, I didn't even have enough. But now we have successful business. She's like, it won't happen again. Luckily now, with the advice and feedback and the help that I've given them,
right,
we've structured things that will never happen again. You know, God forbid. But... and luckily now they're listening to me on helping them with the advice. But just not giving up, not giving up. There's nothing that you could tell me that will make me give up. You could say, no, it's never been possible. I got to be able to figure it out. So
I love that, man. And I do believe that this figuring it out, it's such an immigrant character trait, you know, because usually we immigrants, when we go somewhere that we have never been before. We go to an environment, now we face issues and challenges that we most of the time have never faced before. And now we have to figure it out. Now we have to make it work, okay? So in order to do all of this, you develop this strength.
Right.
And this you can take with you wherever, whenever you go and need it. And now make things work, right, you know, in your favor. Okay, now this thing doesn't work. Hey, I'll find a way to make it work, you know?
Absolutely.
You say no, okay, let me find way to make this no to a yes. I was actually listening to a podcast myself where these two guys, one of them, it's called the My First Million. Sam Parr and Sean Puri. So one of Sam Parr is American, born and raised in America. Sean Puri is Indian, right? Or his parents are from India. And Sam Parr was talking about, he said, hey, my friends that I have that are immigrants, and I resonated with that because I was like, this is so true. He said, my friends that are immigrants, they go ask for things that I would never ask for. Yes. Because I had never the guts to ask for the things that they would go ask for.
Yep.
Things that they would figure out. I was like, no, this cannot be done. But they would go find a way to make it happen.
Absolutely.
You know, because they had to. He said that's so much a immigrant thing, because immigrants have to figure it out, because nobody was waiting for you to come from Cuba to the US, or for your parents. Nobody was waiting for me to come from Switzerland to the US, and now, okay, oh, you're here, okay. That's why I believe we develop this. This is something that we develop with time. Okay, we have to figure it out. This has never been done before. Okay, let me be the first one.
Absolutely. You know?
So I love that you brought that up. You know, I was not planning on discussing about that, but I love it that you brought this up. So this is obviously not the only venture that you have, the only Absolutely. Business that you have. I would love to talk about the other things that you do. And
absolutely. So I think to what you said was, it's a survival mode too.
Mm-hmm.
So the survival instinct mm-hmm. makes you figure life out. When you're back against the wall, you got
no other option.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So in Cuba, being a third world country, there's many things that you don't have. And if you don't figure out, you may not have food for tomorrow.
Right.
You may not have a shower. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many things that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
The toilet. If the toilet breaks and you don't figure out how to get a piece of string to attach to here, mm-hmm. you can't go to Home Depot and buy something.
Right.
So that survival piece on your day-to-day basis, I think every day entrepreneurs have to do, right?
Right.
Nobody's giving you a roadmap right. of what that looks like.
And I would like to add something to this, and then I'll let you yes. move on with the answers. And when we usually come to a Western country, in my case, let's say we come to the US, we see, dude, this is heaven. with all the problems and all the challenges that we had to go through and figure it out, there is so many opportunities here that now right. we can tap into, make it happen, you know?
Right.
So we actually, although everybody else thinks we have the odds against us, but in some cases, we actually have everything lined up in our favor because we're not used to all of this.
The resources. Right?
The resources, the people,
the financials,
all the support that we can get. Oh, wow, this is just heaven.
Right.
That's why I also believe that immigrants become so successful because they figure things out and then they get all these things that they see as opportunities that someone else might see as a challenge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I love that. So a little bit about the other things that I do.
Right.
I actually own a assisted living facility.
Mm.
That's been around now for about 5 years. So it's something that with my parents, even though we do real estate also, I pushed them and I said, listen, you guys don't want to depend on me when you have to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like to travel, and I know that I could give you money, hopefully if I make enough money, mm-hmm. but you don't want to depend on me, let's be honest. So I need, and you don't have a retirement, right? I was talking about my 401k, which I no longer have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I have a retirement set up. You guys don't have that. So what are you going to do other than the real estate? Because if this crashes mm-hmm. again, what are you going to have? And there was one of the properties that we had that had a lot of rooms, and somebody had told us about assisted living facility. Sure enough, we did some research on it. My mother was the one who was like, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for this. Mm-hmm. And she's never been to healthcare, mm-hmm. none of that. And went and learned it, found the resources. I do the finance side of it. Mm-hmm. And from there, we got it started. Because of my connections in the community,
mm-hmm.
I was able to tap into people who already have larger ones, and they were teaching me where to find new clients.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the beginning, it was... 4 months where we only had 2 residents. And I was like, I got to figure this out. Where do we find more? Where do we find more? So I started reaching out in the community, meeting people. And that's when I met a young lady who said, listen, you need to go to these rehab places. You need to introduce yourself. Kind of how I do in banking, how I do in all businesses. But I just wasn't thinking of the healthcare mm-hmm. side of it. And I taught my mother. I was micromanaging her, making sure that she was not in the business so much, but going out and business developing at that point. And from there, if we have one spot open for a month, because, you know, if something happens and somebody leaves, it's filled right back in.
Mm-hmm.
So that business is going very well. That's her baby mm-hmm. while I'm overseeing the top side of it.
Right.
And then we also do, we love real estate. Real estate, I come, you know, it's a real estate family.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in my family, except for me, has a real estate license.
Oh, wow.
I love the investment side of it.
Right.
So, and I do this together with my parents. Mm-hmm. So I do have a couple of properties that I've been able to obtain by myself, mm-hmm. but most of the stuff we own together. Mm-hmm. It's a partnership. And then now that my little brother is in the finance side of it and he's making his own money, we brought him into the business also.
That's amazing.
So, and then apart from the rentals and the flips that we do, we also do Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. So I was able to help them out, start their first Airbnb. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of them my own, and then I have some with some partners also.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is a saying that means, or it said, there is always this one person that in the family gets to change their financial family tree, you know. And oftentimes, you don't know that you're the one, but you get into doing things and then figuring things out. And then one thing takes you to the next thing. So would you say in your, and it's not like something, hey, I'm going to be the one, let me sure. do it. No, you just do it. Would you say, do you feel like you're the one in your family that also is helping and supporting the others and is, you know, combining everything to create that movement?
As of right now, I've felt that over the past year and a half. Mm. Over the past year and a half, I was fighting for that. Mm. Always trying to give my father advice. Oh, be quiet. You don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in me as the little kid, no matter what, I was still mm-hmm. in my 30s. And over the past year and a half, he said, you know what? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because thankfully to your style of thinking of making me change the business that we were doing, now I'm secured. I am okay. Mm-hmm. I have peace of mind. I may not be making millions of dollars, but I have a peace of mind because of us changing our business venture. Mm-hmm. So I think now officially I've taken that hat, and I get it, still not fully give myself credit because I'm right. still not doing what I want to do for mm-hmm. them. I owe them many more, much more is what I owe them. But I think that from the push of teaching them and them actually now taking my expertise, that's made a big difference. So mm-hmm. now I'm falling into that role now.
I see that. And you know, when I'm really, really, so obviously I'm in a privileged position to have this conversation with you in person and also feel your energy. Whenever you talk about your parents, man, I just feel this gratitude Absolutely. Coming from you. And I can literally feel it whenever you talk about them.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, and I believe that's such an amazing thing to have, that having this gratitude towards your parents and be grateful, but also being in a position to help them
yep.
to, you know, to just move forward and create the future they want.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can't do enough for them. Mm. Can't do enough for them. They are my backbone every step of the way for my brother, myself, and anybody in our family, to be honest. They're very, very, very given. We have family that have come over from Cuba, have stayed with us for months, you know, anything. They help out a lot. Mm-hmm. And overall, they've become a big financial help, like my grandmother in Cuba. Mm-hmm. So, like, we take care of her. That because if you don't send money, then you don't have nothing to eat. You don't have right. enough to eat right now with the economy the way it is. So she says that I went to visit, and she's like, look, thankfully to you guys taking care of me on a monthly basis. And my mom's a big, you know, one proponent of that. Hey, guys, give you money so we can send to your grandmother. We got to make sure we feed her. So yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful for them. Mm-hmm. Everything that I've accomplished today, it's, you know, thankfully to them.
That's beautiful. So let's talk about money a little bit, you know, coming from humble beginnings, but then also getting to, I like how you change your position. So, and then also getting to get around and be close to money. Is it working in the bank? Is it getting in the business? Is it getting in the financial side of business? What was it? Because I truly believe, and I have done that. Ask me why. Because I have done it so for so long. And then I got to understand and changed my energy and relationship with it. But I believe when we chase money, it goes away. Right, it goes away, right? Because, hey, guess what? When you chase something, it's always running away from you. But when you welcome it, when you open up, when you're like, hey, come on, I like you. I know how to deal with you. I know what you, then it comes to you. So, and this is not easy, especially when you're coming from humble backgrounds, when you come from humble beginnings, and now you get to understand, hey, now I have to change my relationship with money. It's actually, it takes a lot of, it's challenging in the beginning. The more, and it takes a lot of discipline. So I would like to hear more about that from you. What was it like growing up, you know, very humble beginnings, and then you get to get more and more closer to money. Did you change your relationship with money? What was it like when, you know, when things started taking off and money was coming your way?
So relationship with money, I could say is that I grew up and with my parents making ends meet, right? Working small working jobs where cleaning houses, delivering pizza, paint, just doing small jobs. And it wasn't until I was about, I say 18, 19, mm-hmm. when my parents started really doing well with their finances.
Like basically living paycheck to paycheck here in the U.S.
Right, right, right. And then from there, like when I started, like when I was into college, heading into college, things started to do well for us. Mm-hmm. And I say for us because at that time, even with the normal American, I think that we have the idea of at 18, you leave your house.
Right.
But in our culture, it's for life.
You stay. You don't leave.
It's
you
for
stay.
Life. Right. Right. Even my freshman year in college at USF, I used to, on the weekends, still come home every single weekend, no matter what.
Right.
And if I wouldn't, it would be a fight with my mom. Mm. And that was still at 18, right? Mm-hmm. Where normal thing is like, hey, you leave the nest, but you never really do with us. So my relationship with money is at 20, 21, mm-hmm. I started my first banking job. I was a part-time teller. Mm-hmm. And I, the first or the second day, I never forget this, I saw $100,000 in front of my face. I don't think I've ever seen more than $1,000 before that.
Right.
and I actually questioned myself. My morals kicked in. Mm. Am I going to be able to do this job? Am I going to be tempted to take this money because I've never seen this before?
Right.
And I'm like, and I went home and thought about it, literally thought about it, came back, saw a lot, lots of money again. But that hunger that you got to be able to do and one day obtain this kind of money for yourself. Mm. Then I turned the thought into hopefully one day you have a vault where you could have this kind of money in it. Mm. And that, you know, that kept going. Mm. But I'd say is we went through a cycle where we had no money, survival mode, made some money, everything crashed. Mm. So we went back to having no money. And in my head is always, I don't ever want to experience that again.
Mm.
Never want to experience that. Wow. Again. So seeing my father depressed, mm-hmm. He would sit on the couch and you could just tell it was on his face. I could just see it, you know, and I said, I don't want to be in that position myself. And I never want to see them in that position again. Mm-hmm. And it's then I ended up in banking, which then taught me about finances and being able to teach that to other people. At the same time, during that time, I was living paycheck to paycheck. So my ex-wife and we had Carlos, which is my son, I was 22. She was 20. We were both college students, both working part-time jobs and working paycheck to paycheck. We applied for help from the government. We made too much money, but still didn't make enough.
Right.
We would have to go to AmScot and do the cash advances. Mm. People were thinking like, oh, you work at a bank. And I'm like, no, I'm just making things meet at the time because I was making maybe $27,000 a year at the time.
Oh, wow.
She was still studying. Mm. So she was working part-time. And but not
you made $27,000 as a banker a year. Wow.
Yeah. While I'm dealing with and helping people who are making far more money. Mm. But, you know, you keep home at home, business at business, and built many relationships that allowed me to today become to the finances that I've been able to obtain, luckily. Mm. Even to the point where, to this point, the business that I did purchase into, I have not had the need to take money out of the business because I've been able to set myself up financially to not tap into it. And it's the learning, the relationship with money, and not chasing it. I always told myself this during banking. I'm okay with taking a smaller salary. So I would go somewhere. They would offer me a higher position. I knew I was being underpaid compared to everybody else because right. I'm doing my research. And I would be okay with it. Said, stop chasing money. You're not going to chase money. Mm. The day that you have your experience, and I gained a lot of experience really fast that way throughout mm-hmm. my career, then you could ask for whatever money.
I see.
And I remember in banking, the day that I actually got paid over $90,000, I got offered over $90,000. I thought about the time that my manager years before was making, and I thought, that's so much money. Mm. I was making like 30 grand.
Right.
I'm going to be like 45 before I got there. And I think I was like maybe 30, 31 at that point. Mm. I excelled because of that theory of don't chase the money. Mm. Don't chase it. It's going to come. Get your experience and then you can demand it. So put it into work, right? Put it back to thinking of putting your head down, put into work, and then later on you could ask for whatever you want. Mm.
But it's also hard. Don't you think it's hard when you're making $27,000 and then somebody comes to the bank with $100,000 and you're like, this guy is bringing more money than I would make in a year.
Yeah. But honestly, I didn't focus so much on that. I would focus more on the relationships that I was building. Mm. I'm very much about relationships. I would, obviously, you see that they're one of the wealthier clients. So they get a little bit of different attention sometimes, which even though you try not to.
Right.
But it didn't faze me. It would just look at it as like, you have the opportunity to do that one day, mm-hmm. build a relationship and learn from them. Mm-hmm. And I can say is that many clients that I still have from SunTrust, and this was 13 years ago, mm-hmm. are still on my cell phone. Mm-hmm. I still reach out. I even after I left banking, and, hey, guys, I just got a phone call yesterday from one. Are you still at such and such bank? Nope, I'm not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was really more focused on the relationships because I would always take the front desk also.
I see.
My deal was if I'm going to sit in the banking center when I was working inside the banks, was I want the front desk. I want everybody to see me before they see anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that was the relationship building piece of it.
I see. So obviously, yeah, you're a people's guy. I can tell right away, even when I was talking to you on the phone. What would you say is another thing other than being people's guy, you know, being a relationship guy? What is a different character that has gotten you to where you are today?
Resilience.
Mm.
my therapist. So I see a therapist.
Right.
And something from our, you know, being an immigrant, it's not something that in Cuba we ever, and many immigrants don't believe.
It's not cool. You don't do that, right? You know,
what are they going to help you with? You're good.
Right.
For many years of my life, I thought that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started seeing a therapist, and I could say through hard times in my life, mm-hmm. and probably one of the biggest things I've went through last year, I became a better man. I can say that today I'm a better father.
Mm-hmm.
I am a better friend, a better communicator because of a lot of the things that I never realized that I would take on.
Right.
So that, and she said, the one thing about you is I can tell that you're resilient.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through anything, and it's the immigrant side of it, right? Mm-hmm. You can go through anything mm-hmm. and you're going to come out the other side of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it's also something that you're more comfortable talking about it, being, you know, not like this protective wall around us that we usually, so immigrants usually, you know, you and I come from a culture that, although we don't come from the same place, but we come from a culture that is very, I would say, very, I don't want to call it ego-driven, but also very masculine. Hey, absolutely. Men don't cry. Men are strong. Men do this.
Absolutely.
And now you get to open up, you get to be vulnerable, and you realize that, hey, being strong doesn't actually mean that men don't show feelings.
Absolutely.
You know, being strong is actually showing feelings. It's the opposite of what I was taught, you know?
Absolutely.
Do you also believe that this has also helped you while being resilient?
It is the one thing that has helped me.
Mm.
The biggest skill that I've learned over the past year is vulnerability.
Oh, wow.
I never knew what that was prior to the past year. And it's something I'm every day working on. And as I meet new people now, I'm able to be that way. And I catch myself, wow, how did I just share that with that person? I just shared a lot of emotional side of me without realizing it. So I can say that because of therapy, that's the one skill that has really changed a lot for me in the past year. And I could build better, stronger relationships and not coming off that I'm the man. Yeah. I got to be this strong person, even with my son. So going through a divorce, figuring out how to better connect with him in an emotional side and not teaching him those kind of ways because he's 13. And now it's like figuring out how do I get to his level, bring it down, and just connecting with him on a real emotional level and not so much that tough guy that I've always taught him to be.
Right. And you know, the beautiful thing about this is when you open up, when you become vulnerable, you now get other people that open up with you. Now you're connecting on a whole different level, right? That you would not be able, or I would not never be able to do if I was not able to open up myself and be vulnerable. Because now you're allowing other people also to be themselves and remove the mask that they, or we usually have set for ourselves, and we put this mask on and go through life that everything is perfect, this Instagram life, that everything on the outside looks shiny and perfect, which we all know is not.
Absolutely.
You know?
Even so now, on social media, I'm not one that will put, like, emotional things. If I put something out, it's positive only because I want to encourage others. But if a friend reaches out and like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, hey. And they'll say, congrats to your success. Well, just to let you know, if we get into that topic, I'll share. Things on personal life hasn't been good as it looks. Like, wow, I would have never realized. And I think that touches a lot more. And it's a different side of Carlos that I've seen for myself. That I was always in the thought of, if I don't allow, and not even my parents, I would never speak to anybody or share anything. And if I don't allow them to know anything of me, the inside, they can never hurt me. Which it, when I released that in therapy, I mean, I took a big weight off my shoulders. So
I can so much resonate with that, man. So, but there was, I believe there must have been a turning point. Something, did something happen in your life that you decided, okay, this is the route I'm going to take on, and this is the way I'm going to do it in the future? Changed things about how I've done it in the past?
Divorce. So divorce. I was married for 11 years and, we were together young at a young age, but I knew that I would, as moving on out of it, I don't want to go through that again. And I don't want my kids to go through that again, more importantly. So I have to find out and make changes within myself. Cause it's not, you could easily blame the other person, but no. I go back to myself first. I don't care what that person has done, no matter what. What did I do wrong? Where can I fix it? And that was really the eye-opener for me that made me seek help, to the point where the therapist is somebody who we saw as a marriage counselor. And she said, Carlos, you know, I'm going to be, today, this is what she told me. I'm going to be honest, I didn't think that this was going to be successful.
Interesting.
Because of how close I was. She said, I didn't think that you were going to have a lot to talk about. I don't know, but I gave it a shot. And then months after, she's like, I could see the difference. So I had to reach back to myself because of my kids. I never want them to experience that again, you know?
And usually having been through that myself, and also, but also in my professional life, I've had employees, like managerial position employees, that have had this, I don't want to call it traumas, but you know, this experience in the past that they were not open about opening up and being vulnerable. Man, guess who suffers the most? They do suffer the most.
Absolutely.
Because it feels so heavy carrying all this weight with you. It feels so freaking heavy. And why would you do that? Now looking back, and I did it for many, many years. Looking back, I was like, I'm like, How stupid was I? Yes. Why? But here's the thing. Nobody taught me
right
that there was a different way to deal with that. You know, how I could offload all of this weight and how I could remove all of that just by talking about it, you know. So, and I'm really in my own life and in my own journey. I'm so glad and grateful that I've had the guidance of the people that came into my life, one of them being my wife, you know. She helped me. I'm not sure if she knows about it, but she helped me a lot with opening about this and just letting go of the things that I was holding on to that were, you know, was not helpful for me. So, yeah, man, this conversation is great, and I didn't expect it to go that way. Right. And
I can't say from a business aspect that makes us better leaders.
Absolutely.
I can say with it's maybe a better business partner, and maybe that's why my business partnership has gone so well. I can honestly, so I was going through some emotional stuff about 2 months ago, and I opened up to my business partner. I literally said, hey, you know, I'm going through this. And he's like, you know what? I'm glad we could talk through this. I'm glad we could talk through this because now I see that you're a little off and I understand why. But before, I would fake it, put the hard face on and go through it. It's allowed me to be a better leader for my team and definitely a better business partner for sure.
That's why I also love business partnerships so much, man. This is also something that excites me a lot because you not only get to partner with someone who is in the business with you, but business entrepreneurship in itself and immigrant entrepreneurship on top of it, but entrepreneurship in itself, it's such a lonely journey, right? And when you're in this thing, riding all the waves of highs and lows and challenges and excitement and all the things that now, if you have someone other than your close family and people that are close to you in your personal life, if you have someone that you can share this with, but also get to share all the rest of it that you experience as a human being, that's such a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. I would not rather have it any other way. I'd rather, and I've always said this to myself, the day that I'm able to put my friends in a position to also make money, I would love to. Because one of my end goals is at the age of 50, 60, whenever, is invite everybody who I've ever done business with, say, your vacation is paid. Just show up. Let's have a good time. I'd rather enjoy my successes with people than do it alone. And because my partners are the same way, they're like, man, if we did this great thing, celebrating for myself, like, yeah, I could have the money, but what's money when you're alone, you know? So we all share that same vision, and I think it's definitely far more enjoyable.
I love that. So, Carlos, tell us how much there is obviously a huge Hispanic community in Tampa Bay area. How much do you enjoy, but also how much has this helped with all the things that you do, with who you are today as a person, but also as a business owner and leader? How much has this community been helpful for you?
I could say that a large part of the lateral movement that I've made, you know, moving up the ladder within corporate, has been because of the Hispanic community.
Oh,
I see. The Hispanic community has grown so fast over the years in Tampa that there's banking centers, there's areas that need a Hispanic banker. Because, sure, they could have somebody who speaks just English, and they may be able to, it's not the same, you know, somebody who relates to their culture. So I'm very grateful, and I will forever give back to all communities, but in so much there, because it's driven my success. And back to when I had said that, I was brought into positions because I was only the good Hispanic person that applied for the job. So because I was qualified and nobody else. So maybe it was just only one person interviewing and I got the job. And after that, I moved on really fast, but it's because of the Hispanic communities here. So being part of the Tampa Bay Latin Chamber, I made sure that once my friend reached out and said, hey, we're putting together a board, we need great leaders in the community. And without hesitation, absolutely. So I'm part of that. I'm part of a what's called a TAC committee for Prospera USA. And they also, their sole job of that organization is a nonprofit that gives back to Hispanic business owners, whether it is business plans, whether it is coaching, counseling. Tony was a success story from that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they helped him out a lot with his business growth. So I actually sit in the committee to give back also there. So it is a community that is fastly growing in America. And I will forever be grateful and give it back because it's given me so much.
I love that. And by the way, we will link you up and, you know, all the communities that you talked about and all the organizations, we will link them up in the show notes.
Absolutely.
So people can find and reach out if they need support. They just want to connect whatsoever. So we'll definitely do that. And yeah, man, I'm not Hispanic. I don't have a Hispanic background, but I love you guys because you guys are so supportive. And I just love the vibe and the energy that you guys just show up and support. And, you know, regardless of wherever somebody comes, hey, you need that. So I am really grateful for the connections that I've made within this Hispanic community because there is so much support from you guys. You know, you basically came through Tony's.
Right.
Yeah. Tony's network, you listened to the pod and you were like, hey, let's talk and, you know,
absolutely,
let's see if we can make it happen. And I'm so grateful that you did that.
Thank you.
So we ended up making this and I truly believe there is so much value that you can give to our audience because of your story, because you were being open about sharing everything that you experienced as a human being, as a father, but also as an immigrant entrepreneur who came to the US and went through all the, you know, ups and downs and still is doing the things that is necessarily to do. And yeah, man, it's been a pleasure having you on. Before we wrap up, I have a question for you. I would like to know from you, if you would go back in time and give your younger self an advice and tell yourself something that, you know, when you were in that unknown place, also emotionally, not knowing how future is going to look like, and, you know, you were just hustling and bustling, as they say, and trying to figure things out, what would you tell your younger self? What would the advice be?
Don't say no to any opportunity that's presented in front of you. No matter how you feel, no matter what your emotional state, no matter what your status is at the moment, no matter what you have going on, always go and find out what's out there. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know what opportunity you're going to come across that it may not be what you were presented with that's going to turn into something else. Mm-hmm. And I say that because how I landed to the company that I own today, I was going through when I got invited to the place where I was presenting, and that's where I met my current business partner. I wasn't going to show up, but I was asked to show up to be a panel on the panel. But I was going through a lot of emotional things through the divorce, and I said, "Carlos, get out. Just doesn't matter. Just go." And thankfully, I did, and that's how I landed where I am today. So never say no to any opportunity. Go and find out before you actually decide if it's a good or a bad thing for you.
I see. Is that also, are you also saying have faith in yourself and your capabilities?
100%. Stay focused on your vision.
I see.
We could easily get swayed really fast from what our vision is because of an shiny object, because of anything that gets put in our path. But stay focused on your vision. If you stay focused on your vision, you will always come out on the other end learning more and being better. So
thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Before we wrap up, I actually have these two hats here set up. So one is for you, whichever you like. This should remind you always of who you are, of the resilience that you have, that you will always perhaps have in yourself and always keep you pushing forward through the life, whatever life throws at you. Always remind yourself of this interview that we had and of the impact that you're going to make on our audience, but also of thousands of people that are going to listen to this interview. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You can pick whichever you like. This is something else that I would like to give you. This is a product that I developed for myself. It's called Morning Boost. So it's actually a caffeine-free product which boosts your energy level but also your testosterone level. And you can take that in the morning. It keeps you energized through the day. It has theacrine, which replaces basically caffeine, but it has the same benefits without actually the side effects that caffeine has. So I hope you like it. Take three in the morning.
I love it.
And then, yeah, let me know how you like it. So this is also for you. I put it here. You can take it after the interview.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, man.
It's been a pleasure. And I want to tell you, I love what you're doing. Honestly, this is, to me, the immigrant stories that you come across. It's like a work of art, right? Everybody has a different art that they have when you put it on a wall, and the same stories that we have. I love what you're doing. Keep it up. I will always support, because when you told me the vision, when you told me what you're trying to accomplish, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it just creates another resource, another tool for us to come to this country and, you know, be successful.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, giving us your valuable time. And to our audience, I hope they, I hope you guys liked this interview. It's been an amazing time. I enjoyed really, really, really having Carlos in the studio. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you watch the show or listen to the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And yeah, we don't have sponsors. Everything is bootstrapped. Everything has been financed by our own. And that's the way you can help us get the word out there and get in front of more immigrant entrepreneurs or just people who like to listen and get out something from this show. Thanks for watching, and God bless.